Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
Doesn't it feel good in the presence of the Lord? Oh, God, it feels so good to be in your presence. Amen, amen. I would like to dismiss those who have been perfect this week. You are dismissed. If you didn't make a mistake, greet each other in Jesus' name and have a wonderful evening. If you didn't have one bad thought, one bad word, one bad decision, one bad uh-oh moment, it was good to see you today. We'll see you next week. But for the rest of us, we need the word of the Lord. Because I wasn't perfect this week. There were some blunders. There were some decisions that I probably shouldn't have made. Some words I shouldn't have said. That's why David could say, what is man? Or what is man that thou art mindful of me? Who am I that you would be mindful of me? And so it's so good to come into his presence and say, Lord, thank you for not putting an angel at the door checking my resume over the last 7 days, looking over my decisions these last 7 days. And thank you for not putting some sort of warring angel in front of the door. And if I made a mistake, that angel say, sorry, you can't come in. But David also said, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name forever. The name is great and greatly to be praised. I will bless the Lord at all times. Hallelujah. I want to read two verses of scripture from the book of Hebrews chapter 12 while you're still standing. Amen, amen, amen. I want you to turn to your neighbor and ask him, what are you looking at? Did anybody use that seventh grade comeback? You know, in seventh grade or so, someone would ask you, your bully or somebody you didn't like would say, what are you looking at? And you would respond, not much. That's how we should respond to the devil sometimes. He says, what are you looking at? You look at him and say, not much. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, the scripture says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Anybody still trying to lose weight this year, New Year's resolution? Come on, somebody. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Narrowing in our focus this morning on verse 2, where it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I want to preach to you, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. That's why I had you ask your neighbor, what are you looking at this morning? I want to encourage you to take a second look at Jesus. Would you just lift your hands for a moment? And would you just open your heart to prepare your spirit for the word of the Lord this day, this morning? Lord, I thank you because although I wasn't perfect this week, you said, come back again. Come back into my presence, into my grace, into my love. And so we honor you this moment with praise and worship. We love you, God. And I pray that the gift of faith would go forth and raise raise the expectation of my spirit, God, that I could once again look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Before you are seated, what I want you to do is I want you to lift up your head up high towards Jesus. And as though you were looking at him seated high upon the throne, I wonder if this church could get him a standing ovation. Would you clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with a mighty voice of triumph? Because as long as I'm looking at Jesus, I'm not a loser. I'm not defeated. I'm not lost. When I look at Jesus, I am looking at the author and the finisher of my faith. Somebody shout hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. The Lord has challenged me recently, more so recently than before, to not allow my physical perception to become my spiritual reality. All right. Did that go over you there? Or under you or around you? God has challenged me not to allow my physical perception to become my spiritual reality. Of course, the saying goes that perception is reality. However, there is a reality of another world that I live by. Of course, there are certain circumstances of this physical life that I am defined by, I'm measured by, I'm restricted by, I am confined even by certain physical perceptions and physical realities. You probably don't know this, but I cannot dunk a basketball on a 10-foot goal. I think I touched the rim once. Angels lifted me up. But I cannot dunk a basketball anymore. I'm about 5'9" on a good day. And I'm 33, looking at 34. And I'm not as athletic as I used to be. I've had multiple knee surgeries. This church remembers me preaching from a stool, crutches. And you invited me back. That's why I'm loyal to this church. Amen. You were with me in weakness and in fear, the scripture says. Amen. But I can't dunk a basketball because perception is reality in the physical sense of that phrase. But however, I preached last week the concept of being born again into the kingdom of God. Pastor just mentioned it a few moments ago. Being born again of the water and of the Spirit. And so I intended to go a little bit deeper in the water and the Spirit. And the Lord redirected me this morning in prayer. And wanted me to let you know that as you are born again, the second birth. How many of you have had a second birth experience? When you are born again of the water of the name of Jesus for the washing away of your sins. And you are baptized by the Spirit of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are born again into a second kingdom. And so now you have a spiritual dwelling place, a spiritual kingdom, a spiritual reality. And what is very difficult in this hour, probably more so than any day that you have ever lived, is trying to allow what is going on in the spiritual realm to become my spiritual reality, because we are surrounded by our physical perception, and our physical perception and our physical world is not doing so good right now. And so when we just open our eyes and we open our ears, we are overwhelmed with a physical perception that contradicts our spiritual reality. When we allow our eyes to look upon the things of this world, it completely juxtaposes and contradicts what is happening in the Spirit. Amen. So in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, it says that we are compatible compassed, or we are surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses. This is speaking of those who, in Hebrews 11, it talks about the heroes of faith. And so it says that we are surrounded by these people who are the heroes of faith, who did not receive the fulfillment of the promise of God, but they went forward anyways by the word of God. And they did not allow their physical perception to become their spiritual reality. Many of them having died before receiving and possessing the promise that God had told them that they would receive. And so they went on, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, they didn't receive this reward, but they went on to a better reward. In fact, speaking of Moses in Hebrews 11, it says Moses in the NLT, it says Moses kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. In order to keep on going in this physical reality, in this physical opposition, we've got to keep our eyes on the one who is invisible. And so now this crowd of heroes of faith have gone on to their eternal reward, the Bible says. And so he starts this chapter off by saying, this is the crowd we're surrounded by. They're in the grandstands of heaven watching you and rooting you on. And so it goes on and says, lay aside every weight and every sin that easily besets us. That's a word that we don't used very often anymore, and that word means, I looked it up, and it means to afflict. One of the synonyms of beset I thought was interesting was a word I've never used, but the word is to bedevil someone. B-E-devil. B-E-D-E-V-I-L. So to beset means to bedevil, or to be a devil, I guess you could put it that way. I don't want to be a devil today. How about you? To beset means to be afflicted, to bedevil someone, to torment, to oppose, to conflict, to attack, to trouble, to worry, to bother, or to harass. Has anyone in this church hearing me this morning felt afflicted, tormented, bedeviled? Opposed, conflicted, attacked, troubled, worried, bothered, or harassed? You have felt as though something was trying to beset you from the path of God. He says, lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily afflicts us, so easily torments us. This is the hour to lay aside everything and say, God, I don't want there to be anything in my life that would take me from the pathway of heaven. I don't want there to be anything in my heart, anything in my eyes, anything in my mind that would so easily conflict me and harass me from the will of God. He said we've got to lay aside these things because there is a race that we are running, and we cannot run this race without laying aside some things and turning aside from some ways. He says we're running a race that is set before us. There's not a period there, but there is a comma leading into verse 2. And it leads us in. Keep the verses up there, the whole sermon. And so he says, looking unto Jesus. I want you to lay aside the weight. I want you to lay aside the sin. Knowing that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses who have gone on to their eternal reward. And their advice and my advice would be keep looking at Jesus. Look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. He didn't just start your story. He's going to finish it too. He didn't just put the first punctuation mark, the first word. He didn't just say in the beginning. He also says in the ending. He is not just the beginning, but he is also the ending. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Semicolon. It leads into this. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Now this is a contradiction, because joy and cross should not go together in the same sentence, the same thought, or the same phrase. But it says that there was joy before him in the endurance of the cross, in the despising of the shame, because he's now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That phrase, the right hand of God, is not a physical place, because the Spirit is not a physical location. The right hand of God is the authority of God. It's even something that you and I can be set in, because it's not just a physical location where one person can sit there and us, we just have to sit there and watch. No, even the church can be set at the right hand of God, because we are his body. We can be set in the place of his authority when we do what Jesus did, when we can keep our eyes fastened on God, and we can say, I might have to go to a cross, but there is joy on the other side of my cross, because on the other side of my cross, the other side of my death, there is another story. There is an anointing. There is resurrection power. There is an authority that no weapon formed against me will be able to prosper, because greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. I've got a joy unspeakable that's full of glory. It may endure a cross, it may endure a valley, but it's bringing me to a place of God's glory and authority. Oh, just clap your hands with faith and let the spirit of faith arise in you today. In the New Living Translation, I didn't tell them to type this out, but verse 2 just simply says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. The modern translation goes on and says, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. The champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Champion means to be a winner, a victor, a conqueror, a person who has defeated or surpassed all rivals in competition, a person who fights or argues for a cause or on behalf of someone else. The synonyms of champion are an advocate, a proponent, a promoter, a supporter, a standard bearer, a torch bearer, a flag bearer, a defender, a protector, an upholder, a pleader for, a fighter for, a battler for, a crusader for. And in the Oxford Dictionary, the synonyms that continued say an apostle, an evangelist, or a missionary. In the Oxford, not in the Apostolic Dictionary, in the Oxford Dictionary, in the synonyms of a champion, it says an apostle, an evangelist, and a missionary. What does that mean to me? What did Mr. Oxford preach to me this morning as I was reading his book? I realize that when we look to the champion Jesus, that he becomes our advocate, he becomes our supporter, he becomes our fighter, he becomes our promoter, he becomes our protector, he becomes the one who battles for me, the one who fights for me, he's the crusader for me. And when I look to the champion, I become the apostle of the champion, the evangelist of the champion, the missionary of the champion. When I look unto Jesus, he allows me to become the champion of his word, of his will, of his desire. Hallelujah. I gotta skip a lot here. I got too much. in the last days that Jesus talked about in Luke chapter 21. He told us about what would happen in these last days. He told us what would happen. In fact, he prophesied, in essence, what would happen in Portland, Oregon in 2020 and in 2021. So in Luke 21, 25, he said that there be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Verse 26, hone in on this verse. Men's hearts, and that word men is not just a word for the males, it is a word for the people. People's hearts failing them for fear. In the last days, your hearts are going to fail you for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Notice that. I'm going to keep preaching here for a second, but notice 26, that our hearts will fail us of fear. Why? For looking after those things which are what? Coming on the earth. People will be afraid and terrified. Their hearts will fail them because of fear. And the source of this fear will be what they allow their eyes to watch and to read and to listen to. He says this fear, notice, isn't that an amazing prophecy? That prophecy has never been more relevant than 2021. Their eyes are going to be consumed by the news and the bad news and the fake news and the negative news and the opposition and the situations that we can't conceive and control. Our eyes are going to see and look at the things that are happening in the world and not looking at Jesus. He says, your hearts, you don't have to confess out loud. You don't have to confess. But maybe just in your mind, would there be a confession that could say, there have been times, Pastor Hansen, I felt like my heart wasn't going to make it. I felt like I didn't have the capacity anymore. I felt like I couldn't take anymore. I don't mean to take advantage of the pulpit, but of course, in at the end of 2020, my wife and I burying our little girl, our little daughter, and we went through the tough times of that. I didn't have any plans to tell this, but it's interesting because here we are. We've gone through this destruction, and we've gone through this just distraught grief, you know, and this darkness. And then I'm preaching all these youth camps this summer and these camp meetings. And I'm thinking, man, I'm feeling the anointing of God on me again. And I'm feeling joy and I'm feeling strength to go forward. And then sometime in July, I get a text message from somebody I've never met before. He's a minister. He is used in the prophetic. And he begins to text me and he says, you're going to go through some dark days. You're going to go. This is, you know, 6 or 8 months or whatever after we've buried our daughter, and this guy who I don't even know is prophesying to me saying, you're about to go through some dark days and you're about to go through a season of trials and some tests and some situations of opposition that will have the power to destroy you. And then I didn't even respond. You know why? Because my heart did not have the capacity. I did not believe it. I wasn't unbelieving to it, but I just could not even receive it because I didn't have the capacity. My heart was failing me because of what my eyes were seeing going on in my life. And then like 6 or 8 weeks later, God used somebody else to give me the same exact prophecy, the same exact vision. You're going to go through a valley. You're going to go through a storm. I thought, man, how worse could it get? Buried my own child. It can't get any worse than that. How could I experience this? How could I survive? And there was like a day of fear. I spoke to my wife. I thought, I can't receive these visions. I don't have the capacity. My heart is failing me. Is there anybody has felt like you have exhausted the capacity of your will and your strength and your energy and your emotions? I don't have any more tears to cry. I don't have any more curse words to speak to God. I don't have any more of that. I don't have anything left. I can't do anything else. I can't go forward. And you feel this weight just weighing on you. And what you don't realize, it's like we become bowed in our back. It's like our spine becomes crippled. This weight, this spiritual, this emotional weight, our head is down. I think I don't know how to get out. All I can see when my head is down, all I can see is where I'm at. When my head is down, all I can see is what's coming against me. All I can see is what's happened behind me. When my head is down, all I can see is me and my circumstances. And the scripture says their hearts will fail them of fear because they are looking at the circumstances going on in their world. But watch what Jesus tells us. The remedy that Jesus tells us. Verse 27, he says, and then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when, somebody hear the word of Jesus, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Some of you are feeling exactly what I have felt. In fact, all of us probably feel it. We feel the weight of depression and oppression, the weight of confusion and darkness, the weight of anxiety and fear. And Jesus said, when you feel this weight of fear, lift up your head. Look at me, the author, the finisher of your faith. Notice he said, look up, because your redemption is coming near to you. What is your redemption? Your redemption, the thing that Jesus purchased for you. He redeemed it for you. It's your salvation. It's your joy. It's your faith. It's your deliverance. It's your healing. You want to be healed on Sunday morning? Look at Jesus. You want to be set free? Look at Jesus. I wish somebody would get off of your seat and get on your feet and say, I'm going to look at Jesus. I'm going to look at Jesus. I'm not looking down anymore. I'm not looking down anymore. But I'm going to lift up my hands and lift up my eyes unto the hills, for my help is coming from the Lord. Oh, somebody lift up your head. I feel the help of the Lord in this place. I said, lift up your head. Lift up your head. Lift up your eyes. Get that weight off of your back. Get that depression off of your shoulders. Shake off serpent. Shake it off. And look unto Jesus. I wish somebody would dance in the spirit. I wish somebody would rejoice in the spirit. I've got a name that's above every name. I've got a name that's above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee. I wish somebody would just move for a moment. You ought to bust loose. You ought to break out of your box. You ought to break out of your seat and say, I'm going to look at Jesus. I want you to put both of your hands on your head right now. When I say the word now, you're going to lift up your hands unto heaven, and you're going to lift up your eyes unto Jesus. But I feel the unction of the Holy Ghost to pray that burden off of your mind, to pray that weight off of your mind, to pray that anxiety off of your mind, to pray that fear off of your spirit. When I say now, that weight is going to be lifted. That weight is going to be dissolved. That weight is going to be carried off by the nail-scarred hands of Jesus. You're going to lift up your holy hands in the sanctuary and your eyes unto Jesus. When I say now, that weight will be lifted. And when I say that word, I want somebody to run as fast as you can to this altar on this Sunday morning and let the author and the finisher, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, lift your eyes unto his glory by the authority of the word of God and by the power of the name of Jesus. I bind and take dominion over every spiritual attack, over every spirit that has tried to easily beset us, over every spirit that has afflicted and tormented us. And in the name of Jesus, I lift it off of your mind right now. Lift up your eyes. Get out of your seat. Get out of your pew and come to the altar of Jesus Christ. Come on, bust loose. Break forth. Break out. Break through and come to this altar as close as you can.